I want to start with a story today. Now, this is not a, how would I want to say this? This is not an exact story, but you know, they have things called historical fiction. And historical fiction, it's sometimes based off of something that's actually happened. And something that you might be aware of. Now, as I tell this story, it might invoke memories to you of something that's happened in your life as a child. For others, it might be something you can easily relate to, and for others, your family upbringing, you might not have had this kind of story, but you would like to have had this kind of story. So I want you to imagine, either imagine being the child or imagine a child, a young child, even up to early elementary age, you know, those 7 and 8 year olds. And it could be a boy or a girl. You know, it's evening and the family's been driving. And as they drive, as would happen, the kids get sleepy and they go to sleep. Now, when my children were young, we would go to the grocery store and they would be fussy or they needed to sleep. I remember when some of them were infants, I would drive around and around and around the parking lot and they would go to sleep. I thought these people must think I'm crazy, just going in these circles, like I'm casing the joint or something, but they were quiet and they were going to sleep. And you know how babies can be, and infants and toddlers. But this is one of those cases, you're driving home and you get home and the children are asleep, especially the younger ones. And it depends on how many children you have. For me, we had several. But they've fallen asleep. So mom and dad start carrying the babies in, or the baby in, depending on your situation. If you have multiples, and depending where you live, mom might stay in the car or near the car and kind of stand guard. And dad scoops up the baby chair, snaps it from the car seat and carries that in, and the baby's secure in that, so you place that in the house, and you go back to make another trip, and you start getting other children. And you take them, you pick them up and grab them up, and you take them in, and you put them in bed. You kick their shoes off, you know, put them in bed in their clothes, and they go to sleep. But it could be, too, that you have older children that are in that 7 or 8 range, or 6-year-old or 5-year-old, and their younger siblings have been carried already into the house, and there's been some commotion. It depends on how sound they sleep, but you might have the one, and, you know, as dad, I come back and I look, and their eyes are squinted. They're faking it. They're not really asleep. They're kind of in that twilight sleep, but they like to have dad pick them up and hold them in his arms and carry them up and put them to bed. And dad might know that they're faking, but he enjoys it too. Now, of course, when they get too old, they try to pull that. It's like, you're too big, I can't carry you. But when they're in that yet younger state and they want to be picked up and dad to hold them, and when you know dad's carrying them in, they don't have to walk, and they can feel dad's arms, you know, they can feel his strength, and he's holding them close, and they maybe can hear his heartbeat and the warmth coming from him, and they go up he carries them up the steps, and they're not worried about him dropping them because dad's strong enough. And they're not worried about dad falling because he's sure-footed, but they also know that if dad were to fall, dad would actually turn and fall on the ground and injure himself to protect them. And so that brings them great comfort. One, they get dad to carry them in, they get all those feelings, and then they're on their way to sleep. They're on their way to their bed. That place where it's warm and They're already kind of sleepy. They don't have to get waken up, and they can kind of nuzzle in there. You know, the bed's that place when you're scared, you put your head under your covers and everything's okay. It's like it just, as long as you stay on top of the bed, you don't hang your arms off the side or look underneath the bed, as a child, you're okay. Don't open the closet door. Everything's safe there in your bed. And so those are those feelings that maybe you can remember, or maybe you can relate to. Maybe you wish that you could have or had, or maybe you'd like to have now. Well, you know, in some manner, we can have that kind of feeling. I want you to turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. And if you have trouble finding that in your Bible, I appreciate you having a physical Bible. Some of you might look up and on your phones, that's fine. But it's also be on the screen. And we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 40, verses 10 through 11. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 10 through 11. That's in the Old Testament. You'll be able to find it there. But I want to make sure you listen to it. And you can stay in Isaiah 40 because we'll be there a while. You can share with someone else if you need to. But Isaiah 40, 10 through 11. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those who are with young. Can you picture that? Can you feel that? He's picking up the lambs. He's holding them. He's bringing them in. It's kind of like that story we just told. He will feed his flock like shepherds. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them to his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. So I want us to stay in the book of Isaiah. So keep that open, and you'll be able to look at some other verses in chapter 40 in just a few minutes. The Lord gathers and carries them with his arms. So let's skip down to verse 27. And we're going to read a few passages of Scripture from a few verses in verse 27 and on. But we just need to look at verse 27. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? Have you ever wondered, does God even see me? Maybe you've went through difficulty and challenges, and it says, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God. I even pray, and it doesn't seem like anything's happening. I'm just kind of isolated and alone. Does God know? Does he hear me? You long for that picking you up, holding you close. But we're reminded as we continue in verse 28, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth. Let's just stop there. We'll finish in a minute. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Don't you remember? The everlasting God. He's always there. He is the Lord. He is the creator of the ends of the earth. It's a lot of power. It's a lot of strength. You know, you think about that father picking up that child and the confidence the child has. You know, we can have that same confidence that God is there, that God is powerful enough. It continues, verse 28, he neither faints nor is weary. His strength doesn't give out. He doesn't get tired. Doesn't matter how many steps up into the house. His understanding is unsearchable. Does he understand? Oh, yes, he does. There's a song, an old hymn by that relates that too. Some of you might be thinking of it. Talks about his heart is touched by my grief. Verse 29 tells us, he gives power to the weak. He gives power to the weak. I did some research on that word weak. Other translations might have the word weary or might have the word faint. When I think of the weary or I think of the faint, I think of those that are just worn out. Just worn out. I'm not a doctor and I don't remember exactly, but I remember, isn't there like a B12 shot or some kind of shot you give to get you some extra energy? To those that they're just worn out. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. It seems like those that weren't strong before, maybe don't have strength in themselves, he provides strength. I'm just tired. But he didn't get tired. I don't have any strength, but he does. I can't figure it out, but he can. And he's strong enough. You know, it's not like the child that gets too big for dad to carry him in. We're never too big for God. Verse 30 tells us, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. You know, sometimes we say, oh, if I was just younger. Oh, if it was just that. And some might say, well, I'm a young person. I got a lot of energy. There's nothing I can't overcome. We all come to the place where life knocks us down. Young or old. And we might feel helpless. We feel weak. And see, it's just not just your age, it's everybody. Verse 31 says, but those who wait on the Lord. See, it tells us before that he gives power to the weak, to the weary, to the faint. And those that didn't have strength, he gives strength. He uplifts, he understands. He has the power. He has the capability. He's always there. But it says, those who wait on the Lord. You know, if I'm waiting on someone, I think especially when I'm waiting on the Lord, I expect him to show up. Now, there's some people that you wait on and you wonder, maybe they're not even coming. But there's some you wait on, you're like, Well, I know they would have been here if they could. You have that kind of confidence in them. But when we're waiting on the Lord, we can wait expecting that God's going to show up. But in the waiting, we can be reminded that of how much we need to depend on Him. That we need Him. And in the waiting, you know, sometimes when we're straining against the task, you know, if you're working with something physically, you're trying to lift something or move something, that exercising of those muscles make you stronger. And sometimes exercising our spiritual muscles and waiting and having faith that God will show up when He needs to. Because we want Him to show up now. But see, in exercising those faith muscles and those prayer muscles and those, just like exercising makes us physically stronger and more capable, it exercises our spiritual muscles so that we are stronger. And He allows us to gain that strength. But He is there. He understands. He hears. And we can expect that He's going to show up. If we wait. It's hard to be patient and wait on the Lord. You know, if you have somebody that you're waiting on doing something, you don't think they're going to show up, you're like, fine, I'm going to do it myself. How many times do we take things on ourselves and try to do it ourselves when we need to just wait on the Lord? Oh, that's hard for me. Is it hard for you? Sometimes it's easier, sometimes it's harder. I'm like, oh, this would be so good. I really would like that. This would really help me out. Maybe it's a change of job. Maybe it's who knows what it might be. But when we wait, we're not only trusting God to provide, we're asking God to provide the solution. You know what I'm saying? We might think to ourselves that this is the answer that I need. And then ask God to provide me with the answer that I need. Because we might say this is what would fix my problem. And look to God for the resources to fix it in the way you think it could be fixed. But you know what? God might want to actually provide you with what the fix should be. With what the solution would be. With how to fix it and supply you the strength. Or He might provide the strength Himself. He might take care of it, but we got to wait on the Lord. But it says in verse 31, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall get their strength. And it goes on, they shall mount up with wings like eagles. And I'm picturing, if you've ever seen an eagle fly, birds of prey, they fly different. Some of you maybe have seen buzzards or other birds that glide. Not that these eagles can't fly, glide, but maybe you've seen it on video or on TV or something. And their wings are shaped a little bit differently, and they reach up, and they go, boom. They mount up. And when they reach out and they mount up, they lift and soar. They're not gliding the wind currents. They, as they were like swimming in the air, they pull back and they mount up and they soar. And then they, again, and then it just climb. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Sometimes we got to do it fast. And we got to run. But run and not be weary. That quick burst of get it done and move into it. And we don't get tired and doing it fast, but it also says, shall walk and not faint. And I'm like, well, why wouldn't you run all the time? Because sometimes it seems we have to walk. You think of the tortoise and the hare. Sometimes we just keep going and keep going and keep going and keep going. Not fainting. We just keep pace. Keep on that journey. Sometimes we're moving faster, and sometimes we're moving slower. But we've got to wait on the Lord in the place that He has us and not grow weary. So let me read those scriptures to you as we close this up. With the insights that maybe you've heard and the Holy Spirit have laid upon you, we're going to read Isaiah 40, 10 to 11, and then we'll jump over to verse 27. Isaiah 40, 10, behold, the Lord shall come with a strong hand, and His arm shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His work before Him. He will feed His flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with His arm and carry them in His bosom and gently lead those who are with young. Verse 27. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. I'm going to read one more scripture to you. You don't need to turn there. But it's Psalms 27, 14. I want to leave you with this. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Let's be standing together. Lord, we thank You for this scripture. And with every state that we find ourselves, may we wait on the Lord. May we be encouraged that yes, You do hear. Yes, You do understand. Yes, You are capable. Yes, You are always there. And when all of us have those times of weariness, all of those have times when we don't have enough strength. We were strong for the other situation, but not for this one. But You are able. And whether we are walking or running with You, we need to wait on You. And in those times where we be encouraged that we may mount up like eagles. So we move from where we're at to a higher place. A place where we move from maybe our struggles, and as we gain that height, our difficulties become small because we've waited on You. And as we wait, may we be patient. May we not come up with our own solutions, but wait on You for the right path. Not for You to answer, to meet it and fix it the way we think it should be fixed. But may we trust You with what the solution should be and with the solution. And may You give us the strength to do what we need to do, to be part of it. But may we trust You to make up the difference. Bless us, we pray, may we be encouraged that You are there. We pray in Jesus' name.